Well, guys, welcome back to Wake. We're glad you're here. Hey, I don't know how many of you guys have Twitter or checking quick updates, but I heard, do you guys like music in here? Anybody like going to concerts? Anybody like Taylor Swift's new song? Do we like Taylor Swift out here? Anybody like 21 Pilots out here? Kinda? Well, whether you love them or hate them, I read before coming up here that they are just starting a tour together. Taylor Swift, 21 Pilots, going on tour, and it's starting in Dallas tonight. Have you guys heard this? They're here tonight. Who would go to this concert if I could give you tickets right now? If I gave you tickets right now, you'd be there. All right? Who would be willing to even be duct taped to a pole the rest of the day if I could... You'd be willing just for tickets. What if I could give you backstage passes to hang out? I've got some friends. I've got a buddy who knows 21 Pilots. Could get you backstage to hang with both those guys and even hang with Taylor Swift. Would anybody be in for that right now? Okay. Some people that'd be excited. We didn't really love Taylor Swift or 21 Pilots, but man, backstage passes would be stinking awesome. All right, hey, what if I could give you backstage passes to be with Jesus? I see what you're doing here. Okay, some people excited, some people going, all right, preacher man, Jesus juke me. I see what you're doing. Okay, what if the room changed? It was automatic. You'd go, I want backstage passes. And then we hear the Christian and it's like, oh, I'm at church. Yeah, I should cheer for that. What if I told you already had backstage passes with Jesus, and a lot of times we just skip the concert? I'm going to explain what I mean by there, and it's a cheesy analogy, but I intentionally do that. 21 Pilots and Taylor Swift aren't coming. Sorry. You didn't like them anyways, but they're not coming here tonight. But I say that because our heart gets so excited for the show, for the thing, for what our culture throws at us. But some of the coolest experience that we could ever have every day, many of us may get excited about that. Most of us, myself included, tend to just go, nah, I got better things to do. Last week, what we looked at, this idea of the camp high, we looked at a story where Peter promised Jesus, man, even if they all fade away, I'll never fade away. I'll die for you if I have to. He was living the camp high. We, like Peter, live fueled by the camp high. But we talked about how we want to live fueled by Christ himself, daily fueling the fire, feeding the fire. And a lot of us in here, we have met Jesus. We have a relationship with Jesus. We have been saved forever because we've surrendered to Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing day, unbelievable day. But there may even be a day that's even better in terms of the depth of relationship that we can have with Jesus, which is the next day and the day after that and every day. Because we're not just saved forever. We get to be in relationship with Jesus every day. But if you're like me, it's easy to just go, nah, I got better, more exciting things to do. Or we get confused and think that we have to do certain things to provide for that relationship. Today, we're talking about abiding with Christ. If you've been around here a while, you've heard me say that word. You've been reading the scriptures. You've seen that word. For those that are new in here, you've never heard that. This word abide is a word that's used in the Bible. It's a word that just means stay, remain, be, sit with. Abide with Jesus. This morning, we're going to look at a passage in John 21. So last week, we looked at right before Jesus was going to be crucified. This is after Jesus has died. All of his disciples scatter. He raises from the dead, and he shows himself to them several times. And this is one of those times. And before the part that we get to, these guys are discouraged. These disciples, these guys been hanging with Jesus, they're just afraid. People hate them. And so they go back and they start doing the stuff that they normally do. They're fishing and they don't catch anything. And this guy from the shore says, hey, why don't you throw to the other side? They're like, you're crazy. They throw to the other side and they get this huge catch. Someone goes, that's Jesus. And they run to the shore. Peter throws himself in the water. And another day, we're going to teach that text. But today, this is where we pick up. And what we're going to look at this morning is how to abide with Jesus and an invitation that Jesus gives to us every day. And so I'm going to give you three things that's really going to turn into one phrase that hopefully you can have a mindset every day of, if I sit with Jesus in this way, he's going to use me incredibly, and I'm going to get to grow in relationship with him. And the first thing he says is, come and eat. The first invitation that Jesus gives to us, because he wants relationship with us, is come and eat. If you got your Bible, go to John 21. It'll be on the screen also. We're going to start in verse 9. Here's what it says. When they got out on land, they, the disciples, saw a fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you just caught. And so Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them. And so with the fish, this was the third time that Jesus was revealed to disciples and after he was raised from the dead. And so Jesus just says, come and eat. Everything they could ever want, everything they needed, not ever want, but everything they needed was sitting with Jesus. So Jesus is at the fire. These guys are out doing their thing. And Jesus just says, hey, come on. Come gather around the fire with me. Come sit with me. And that's the invitation we have every day, to sit and be with our Savior, to be in God's word, to see the revelation that he's given us. And most of the time, we see it as work. Oh, I got to set my alarm earlier. I got to figure out what I'm going to study. I've got to figure out how I can be good enough to come with God. Man, I've got to cook some big breakfast spiritually. But did you see what happens? Let's go back to verse 9. What happens is Jesus invites him over, and it says on the fire, if I brought real fish, it'd be kind of weird, but I brought these little like puppet fish so that it's less like sushi. On the fire, he's got some fish. Mine's from Tom Thumb, but it's fine. Let's pretend Jesus brought it. He's also got some bread. He's got all the stuff that he needs, all that they want to be nourished and fed. Jesus already has it. It's on the fire. It's cooking. And he just says, hey guys, come, grab a log. Sit with me. Hang with me. Eat. Be fed. You don't have to do anything. Enjoy. You want a free breakfast right now?
Yeah.
Like, what if you had some bacon and eggs? What if we had bacon and eggs for everybody? You'd be like, oh, please. Give me a chicken biscuit. Come on. And guys, it's way better than that. And it's a spiritual meal that the Lord allows us to have every day. But you know what happens? And you saw some of it. What happens is we get lazy. We get tired. And I say we. It's not you. It's me. We kind of just go, I don't know if I want that. Because I could easily just go and grab some Doritos. I mean, it's not like the most nourishing thing, but all I have to do is open a bag or some Funyuns. Anybody like Funyuns? Some hot Cheetos. Like, I could just get up, maybe some Pop-Tarts, just pop that thing in. And honestly, some of us get more excited about this than an unbelievable nourishing meal. And guys, I don't know about you, but this invitation to abide that Jesus makes so easy, I struggle with it. It's easy for me to hit my alarm and snooze in the morning. It's easy for me to think that I've got too much to do, too much homework, too much stuff to do the rest of the day, that I can't take time to just sit with my Savior. And most of the days, I just wake up quickly and grab something. Instead of stopping to feed my soul with the thing that my Jesus wants to just go, hey, can I feed you? Really, really well. Anything that we need is right here. Let's go back to the text. So they see that the fish is already there. And Jesus then what he does, he's already got fish on the fire. What he does is he says, hey, those things that you got, why don't you bring those fish over too? And a lot of times we hear that and we assume that what God wants from us is, oh, God wants me to then work for his love. We talked a lot about that last week. God wants me to have to do all of these things to earn his approval. That's not what Jesus is saying. Remember, these guys couldn't catch anything on their own. Until all of a sudden, Jesus goes, hey, why don't you try the other side? Yeah, we've tried the other side, dude. I don't know who you are. Hey, man, just try it. And we're talking not like little sardines or little fish, you know, you think you see. We're talking like this size fish or bigger, really heavy fish, 153 of them. They can barely haul it in. And Jesus says, hey, that abundance that I've given you, the things that I have gifted you with, why don't you bring them here and let's eat together. Let's worship together. Jesus invites us to take the things that he gave you and bring them to his feet and worship him, not because he needs those things. He gave them to you. But so that we can worship him together. He invites us in and just says, come and eat. Come live in relationship with me. Jesus is the bread of life. And every day he invites us to take a bite of that and to just be fed well so that we can live, that we can grow and not just eat the junk of this world. That's a lot easier. And then what it does at the end in verse 14, it says this was the third time that, if we go to the next slide, this was the third time that Jesus appeared to them, that he revealed himself to the disciples. And guys, this is such a cool verse because what we're talking about here are these seven guys who really sat with Jesus. This isn't just a metaphor of, hey, look, we can sit with Jesus. These are guys that actually sat with the Creator God, the Savior of the world, around a fire. And they laughed with him. And they shared their hurts with him. This isn't an imaginary friend. I've got a 2-year-old son named Abel. And Abel has a doggy. He just calls him Doggy. This little stuffed dog that goes everywhere. I'm going to show you a couple pictures. Doggy, this is him. He's like, Doggy, look, it's raining. Look out there. Doggy, look. He loves to just play with him. He'll dress him up and put goggles on his face. And they'll play construction together. He'll then even like want to feed with him. And so he'll put him in his high chair. And he's like, look, Doggy, get bites. Doggy, have some water. Doggy, have some popcorn. And like to him, it's like his best friend. And you know, we go on an airplane. And he's like, Doggy, look at all this stuff out there. And like to us, it's like, oh my goodness, it's so cute. And some of us kind of think we live in this relationship with this cute relationship with Jesus. Oh, it's cute that you love Jesus. He's not an imaginary friend. He's not this fake thing we talk about. He is God. He's real. And he loves you. And he's got an open stump that every day he invites you in. And he's got everything you need. And he just invites you to come and eat. And he continues. And what he also does is he just calls us to love him. He says, come and eat. And then Jesus says, love me. And we see that as he continues in the text, he calls Peter specifically, but all of the disciples, he says, love me. We've got a slide. We're going to put it on the screen. Love me. Two little words. But first he says, come and eat. Then he says, love me. So he continues in John 21, verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I'm going to stop right here. Remember, they're sitting around a fire. They had just gone fishing. They're with a bunch of people. I think there's two things that's happening here. Jesus, remember, what did Simon do before he hung out with Jesus? Peter. He was a fisherman. Peter had just been fishing. Peter had just been with his boys. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, Peter, do you love me more than these? What I think Jesus was basically saying is, hey, Peter, do you love me more than this stuff? Do you love me more than the things that you have? Do you love me more than the things you like to do? Do you love me more than the activities that you do that you think you're identified in? Do you love me more than just being athletic? Do you love me more than being the popular kid? Do you love me more than how other people see you and your reputation because of me? Because remember, this is the same Peter who just denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus just sitting with him and said, hey man, do you love me? The other thing I think is he's looking around at these other guys and saying, hey, do you really love me more than them like you said you would? You said, they all may fall away, but I never will. Do you love me? And Jesus is not shaming Peter. This isn't Jesus going, hey man, I told you you'd do this. This isn't Jesus sitting there and going, hey, look, this better never happen again. And a lot of times that's what we think God is about to say to us when we sin. What Jesus is doing is he's sitting with him, inviting him in, and he's showing him, hey, Peter, I'm not scared of you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not ashamed of you. I want you to love me. Do you love me? Peter says, yes, you know I love you. You know that I love you. And so Jesus says, all right, go tend my sheep. And he continues. And he doesn't just move on to another question. He asks him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus, over and over, wants to just have us look at him as the ultimate above everything else, to worship Jesus. Not the stuff he gives us, not the stuff around us, not all these other things that we think can give us life, but will we love Jesus? And guys, all throughout our lives, we're going to have so many opportunities. I have so many opportunities every day to love everything else more than Jesus. And to go through my day seeking the approval of man, seeking satisfaction and popularity and stuff and all of these things. And Jesus asks us the same question. In the lunchroom, do you love me? In the locker room, do you love me? In the middle of a storm when your life is crazy and everything seems like it's falling apart, do you love me? When you're being made fun of for being a Christian, do you love me? In the midst of temptation, you're home alone. No one knows that you're flirting around online and clicking on images. Do you love me? More than those things that can give you pleasure, more than those things that can give you popularity, do you love me? When someone makes you angry and you just want to retaliate, do you love me? When you're stressed out and anxious about what's coming, do you love me? When you fear the future, do you love me? When you feel hopeless and broken and hurt, do you love me? And I want to remind you guys, it's not shaming you. It's Jesus sitting, staring you in the face and saying, I have everything that you could ever ask for or imagine or want, and I want to give you it all. Will you love me more than everything else? Will you live in relationship with me and find what true joy and true satisfaction and true hope is? Because guys, I'm telling you, it is only found in Jesus Christ. And you may have to go see all the things of the world like I had to, like I chose to, and see that none of that will satisfy. But Jesus invites you in around the fire in his provision. And he just says, love me. Come, eat, love me. So what will your answer be? If it's yes, then let's go love others. If it's no, then come, ask questions. Let us tell you how great and good God is, because he's not trying to convince you of something. The offer stands, and he's inviting you into relationship with him. And the last thing that we see in this text is Jesus just says, hey, go and be. Come and eat, love me, and go and be. John 21, verse 17. Jesus, a third time, he says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So Jesus said, then feed my sheep. He doesn't say, well, then you screw up. Stop doing the same things that I tell you you keep doing. And so many times I and we hear that God's just mad at us. He's not mad at us. He wants to forgive us of anything that we've done and all that we will do. And then he sends us out to go love others. Not to go fix yourself, not to be better. But because we have sat with him and been nourished by him and we worship him, Jesus then sends us on mission to go and be. Go and be. Go and be his disciple. Go and be on mission. Go and be still and know that he is God. Go and be his child. Go and be influential in the lives of others. Go and be because he is sending you. Not because you got to find it in your own strength. Not because that's what we feel like we have to do. Jesus gives Peter this mission. Forgives him of all that he's done. And he sends him out to go love others. Guys, something that we're going to do this year is we're going to show you every week how different leaders devote daily, how they spend time in God's word or other things that they use tools to equip themselves with and grow. Another thing that we're going to do is we're going to use a hashtag go and be with just different pictures that inspire us to go live the Christian walk, to live out our spiritual life, to go deeper in relationship with Jesus. This is a picture of me and my family out in Arkansas, sitting around a fire. And I see this picture and I see the Milky Way and I see the majesty of God. And I just want to get around a fire with his people and to tell stories of how awesome God is, to tell stories where we're seeing God at work. That picture makes me want to just go get around a fire, forget everything else that's around me, and to go be in God's creation. Go be reminded that I'm his child. So throughout the year, we're going to show you pictures like this. With scripture, with quotes, to remind you, my job as God's disciple is to not go be perfect, it's to go be. Because he's given me all that I need to go and be his disciple, to go and love others. And so guys, the invitation of Jesus to abide is to come and eat, to love me, and then go and be. Guys, like, you don't have to spend time with Jesus in the morning. There's nothing biblical or super spiritual that says, hey, you got to get up early and make sure you get your time in. That's just what works for me. It's because I wake up and I'm hungry. You guys get up and you're hungry? Yeah. I get up and I'm hungry. And spiritually, I'm hungry too. And if I don't eat, if I don't take the time to just sit with what God's already given me, remember, this stack of firewood to tend that fire all the time, it's right here in God's word. It's right here in people all around you. And if I just take the time to be disciplined and to feed off of what God's already provided for me, then throughout the day, I have what I need. I'm already fed so that I can then give what I have to feed others. And so, guys, I hope that every morning you'll wake up and just be reminded of John 21 and that you'll think through these things. You wake up and you go, okay, come and eat. Love me. Go and be. Come and eat of what God's provided. Love Jesus. And then go be his disciple and love others in this hurting and broken world. Guys, this is home base. What I mean by that, like, this is our camp. If you've ever been to a campsite is primitive. It's temporary. It's where you kind of pack all your gear and leave all your stuff and you go out and you explore and then you come back to get provision. The church is not meant to sustain you. Your camp experience is not meant to sustain you. All of those things are to bring you back, to remind you, to gather together like that picture we saw, to share stories so that we can go out every day and love Jesus. So if you've read the Bible at all and you know the rest of the story, you know that once Jesus goes into heaven, he leaves it to his disciples. And what really could have happened, because we see seven guys here that are sitting around this fire. There were 12 disciples. What could have happened is it just was, man, weren't those cool 3.5 years with Jesus? Wasn't that just sweet and awesome? Let's go fishing. And none of us would ever know. But what Jesus did is he sent them on mission. And these seven guys, these 12 guys, they went and lived their life the way that they saw Jesus live his life because they sat with him. They've lived with him. They've been with him. So they walked as he walked and talked as he talked. And what we know is the church exploded. And all over the world, people were different because of Jesus Christ. Guys, there's more than 7 or 12 of us in this room if you look around. And what Jesus is doing, what God is doing, is sending you out into the city because you've been with him, because we're disciplined and diligent to be with him in his word, in fellowship with other believers, and to then go and be his disciples. And guys, this city will be different. It doesn't start with us being super spiritual. It just starts with us waking up and being with Jesus, abiding with him, and God's going to do the rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. Thank you for your word that reminds us that it's nothing that we do, nothing that we can be better or earn your approval or bring something to the table to show that we are good. God, it is all what you have done through your son, Jesus. And Lord, we are in a busy world, a crazy culture, lots of homework, lots of sports, lots of distractions, lots of laziness and pride in my own heart. Will you help us be disciplined to just wake up, to drink deeply of your word, to read of the truth in scripture, and to align ourselves and our lives with you so that our lives will be transformed by the renewing of our minds and that we can go out and to love a hurting and broken world. Lord, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that even in spite of our sin, the sins that we've done this summer, the sins that we've done this weekend, the sins that we will commit this week, you forgive us. You give grace. You're not trying to beat us up. You just want to invite us into relationship with you to love us. So Lord, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.